We greet you in the name of the Lord, so thankful for the privilege of sharing another Way of Truth broadcast with you. This service originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. And this is Alvin A. Craig inviting you to stay tuned as we bring you the gospel on today's Way of Truth broadcast. It is a privilege to share the Way of Truth broadcast with you from week to week, and we do trust that is proving to be a blessing to you, for that is our sincere prayer. And at the close of our broadcast today, the Lord willing, we'll be giving you our mailing address, and we would be thankful if you'd take time to let us know that you hear and appreciate our broadcast. And in the meantime, we invite you to stay tuned. And may the Lord's blessings abide upon you as you listen to our broadcast today.
When my soul was black with sin, and I had no peace within, Jesus came and changed my life. Now I have abiding peace that doth ever increase, for the Savior changed my life. He changed my life one day and taught me how to pray. I tell the world sweet home in heaven above, all because He changed my life. As I lived in my own way, never did I stop to pray, but He came and changed my life. Oh, what love He had for me when He died on the tree. By His power He changed my life. He changed my life one day and taught me how to pray. Because He changed my life. Love and joy and peace divine filled this longing heart of mine when He came and changed my life. Now I know I'll live again with the Christ there to reign, for by grace He changed my life. He changed my life one day and taught me how to pray. I tell the world about His love and my sweet home in heaven above, all because He changed my life. All because He changed my life.
Any unsaved person who comes to the Lord Jesus Christ and obtains a true experience of salvation can truly say, He changed my life. The Apostle Paul said, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new." Heavenly Father, we are truly thankful for the love of God that brought Jesus into this world, and for the supreme sacrifice that He made so that our lives could be changed. And we are thankful for life in Christ. Now we pray as our broadcast service goes forth to this precious congregation today, it will be accompanied by the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit will be able to make it a blessing to each one in our congregation. You know them each one, you love them each one, you know their burdens, you know their cares, and we're praying that you'll minister to each one, encourage and help according to the needs. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our subject for today's broadcast, being easily entreated. And our text of scripture is taken out of the third chapter of the book of James, beginning with verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. The Apostle James has given some very sound advice for Christian living in his epistle. In verse 22 of chapter 1, we are told, "Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only." In this message today, we want you to think with us about being easily entreated. The late C.W. Naylor, in his book Heart Talks, said, "One of the greatest problems that ministers meet, and one that requires the most patience and wisdom, is the problem of settling personal difficulties. These difficulties are often found existing between those professing to be Christians, and sometimes they are very hard to get settled." And I might add to that quote from Naylor that this problem is not only limited to those professing saints as far as lay members, but you also find this problem existing sometimes among ministers as well. There is one reason for this. Those involved are not easily to be entreated. James tells us that this is a quality of that wisdom that is from above. The quality of being easily entreated is a mark of a true Christian spirit. Where it is lacking, spirituality, if there is any at all, is always below normal. Let us notice the context of this statement about being easily entreated. James says, "The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easily to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." Now, when you have the other things that James has mentioned here that I have just read, it is safe to say you will also find a person who is easily entreated. And these things that the Apostle James has mentioned are indeed a part of the Christian life. The wisdom that is from above is first pure. The pure in heart shall see God. Then peaceable. We not only have peace with God, but we have peace with one another. And it's also gentle, not harsh, not cutting. And then he says, easily, or easy to be entreated, full of mercy. They that show have, if you want to have mercy shown to you, then show mercy. And good fruits. And of course, good fruits are the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And not partiality. James says if we are partial, if we are showing respect to persons, then we do wrong. And without hypocrisy. It is true that you'll find people in the world who profess to be that which they are not. But a person who is really and truly a Christian and doing the things that James has described here will certainly be a person without hypocrisy. Now, I say whenever you have these things that James has mentioned, then it is safe to say you will also find a person who is easily entreated. Adam Clark says, in regard to easy to be entreated, "Not stubborn, not obstinate, of a yielding disposition in all indifferent things. It is not hard to settle trouble if people want to have them settled. For if they really want them settled, they are willing to settle them the right way." And that's a quote from Adam Clark's commentary. And how true that is. If a person or if individuals, more than one person of course, if individuals want to have a problem settled, then they will be easily entreated and the problem will be solved. Not stubborn, not determined to have their own way, always insisting that I'm right, you're wrong, but yielding to a spirit of humility, a spirit of kindness, a peaceable spirit, a peaceable attitude. And when you have that, then you'll have the foundation for the settling of problems. It is not hard to settle trouble if people want to have them settled. For if they really want them settled, they are willing to settle the right way. And the right way is the only way that a problem can really and properly be settled. Of course, I do not speak of forsaking the truth. I'm not talking about compromising the gospel. I'm not talking about going the way of the world or the way of the unsaved. I'm talking about Christians and the settling of problems and being easily entreated. Remember, James is speaking of that wisdom that is from above, that which is pure and without hypocrisy. Now, let us look at an example. When strife arose between the herdsmen of Abraham and Lot, Abraham went to Lot and said, "Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we are brethren." So we read in Genesis chapter 13 and verse 8. Abraham was the oldest, doubtless the richest, and had more animals and cattle than Lot had. And he doubtless then had more herdsmen. Yet he gives Lot the choice. You choose which one you want. Here's the hill country, or here's the well-watered plains of the Jordan. You choose which one you want. And that was Abraham's way of settling a problem. He was indeed easily to be entreated. And Lot chose the well-watered plains of Jordan. And I would say that in the end, it cost him very dearly. It had been better off to have told Abraham, "Well, I want you to give me the proper right advice, and I want to stay with you, and I want us to settle this problem between our herdsmen so that we can stay together, for I need the wisdom that you have. You are older, you are more experienced, and I stand in need of your help." But such was not the case, and it cost Lot, and it cost him dearly. What then does it mean to be easily entreated? It means to be kind and just and reasonable and self-sacrificing in one's attitude toward others, according to the dictionary. And there are those who are determined to stand up for their rights. And yes, yeah, we have rights. And there are those who are determined to stand up for their rights. So, when any question involving them arises, they feel as though they must stand up for their rights, and they often lose sight of everything else. Kindness, mercy, forbearance, patience, Christlikeness, in fact, nothing counts but their rights, and they're going to suffer for it many times because they're forgetting about that which is gentle, that which is kind, that which is merciful, that which is patient, and that which is Christ-like. My rights and only my rights really counts. When a spiritual man is compelled to defend his rights, he will do so in a meek and quiet way. A way that has in it nothing offensive or self-assertive. When they were about to scourge Paul unlawfully, His only assertion of his rights was to quietly ask them, "Is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned?" Acts 22 and 25. And of course, the Apostle Paul knew that the Roman law forbid a Roman citizen to be scourged without having first been tried and proven to be at fault. And so whenever they were going to scourge Paul without this right, he simply asked them, "Is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned?" And of course it was not, and they left him alone. Why he did not speak that way at Philippi, I cannot say, but he and Silas there were beaten and thrown in jail. And then the next morning, after the jailer was converted in his household, the authorities sent word down there to tell Paul and Silas that they could leave. And Paul said, "Not so. We were beaten openly. We were condemned without any proper trial. And now they want to send us away secretly. I've got a reputation. I've got a guard. You go tell them to come and bring us out." And whenever they found out that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, they did indeed come, and they came very meekly, urging Paul to leave. They should have found out ahead of time before running the risk of getting themselves into trouble. Now, we also have an example in the 15th chapter of Acts where a problem was settled in a very proper way. People were following Paul and the co-laborers around, trying to tell them, after Paul had preached to them the gospel and the conversion of Christ and Christianity, Jews were following him around and saying to the people, the new converts, that they had to be circumcised and obey the law, and Paul knew better than that. So Paul and Barnabas went up to Jerusalem to settle the problem. And they did settle the problem because the Holy Spirit gave them wisdom and understanding as to what was right. And the reason they were able to come to the proper decision was because they were easily entreated and they were willing to take the Lord's counsel and the Lord's advice. One of the things that hinders problems from being settled is self-will. So many people like to have their own way. It is very hard for them to submit, even when they are convinced that they should do so. It's awful hard for some people to admit that they're wrong, even when they are wrong. A spirit of humility is called for if one is to be easily entreated. I say a spirit of humility is called for if one is to be easily entreated. I will again quote from Naylor's book that I referred to earlier, and this quote is, "Where this heavenly wisdom abides, there will not be a disposition to assert one's own rights, so to be self-willed or to hold fast to one's own ways. On the contrary, if his blessed presence fills our souls, we shall be merciful, kind, forgiving, long-suffering, pitiful, and we shall have the same tender feeling for our brother who has done us wrong as the Father had for the prodigal son." And you know the parable of the prodigal son. The younger son asked his father to give him his inheritance. He took it and he left, went into a far country, and there he spent his life, substance, in riotous living, spent it all, and his fair weather friends were gone, and he went and hired himself out to a farmer, and even though he was a Jewish boy, he had to feed the swine. And there, in the feeding the swine, he came to himself, and he said, "My father's servants have it better than I do. I know what I'm going to do. I will arise, and I will go home, and I will say to my father, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and I have sinned against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Just let me be one of your hired servants. And he didn't just think that and say that. He actually put it into action. He arose and he went home. And his father saw him afar off, and his father ran and embraced him. And he started to tell his father what he said, because he meant what he said. But his father said, bring a new robe for him. Kill the fatted calf. Put a pair of new shoes on him. And let us rejoice, for my son that was dead is now alive. And they rejoiced. Now, the meaning of that parable, of course, is the father forgives the sinner who repents of his sins. The father exhibits the love, the compassion, the concern, the willingness to forgive that our heavenly father does. But we must be willing to acknowledge our wrong. We must be willing to confess our sins and acknowledge that we are not worthy and that we are not deserving of God's mercy. But because God is love, God is a heavenly Father who loves all and is willing to forgive all if they will but come to him with a broken and a contrite heart. And so we find in this parable a loving Father who is willing to forgive. And I want to assure you today, if you have gone astray, if you have spent your substance on riotous living, if you will come to yourself, even as the prodigal son, and come to the Father with a broken and a contrite heart, you can and will find peace with God. For the Heavenly Father will accept your repentant heart and will forgive you of all of your sins. So, heavenly wisdom is easily entreated. Father, we thank you for the privilege of sharing these thoughts with our precious congregation today. We trust the Holy Spirit will make them a blessing to souls, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to thank you for listening to our broadcast. And again, if you would take time to write and let us know that it's a blessing, it would be an encouragement to us. And our mailing address is The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address is truth@fred.net, truth@fred.net. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. We invite you to be with us in our services. Our Sunday morning service begins at 20 minutes before 11, and our evening service at 6, and of course that's Eastern time. Our webpage address again, www.wayoftruth.org. And now, this is Alvin A. Craig. We will invite you to tune in the station next week, when again, the Lord willing, we'll be coming your way with another Way of Truth broadcast.
Let me stand on the hills and the mountains that were built by the hand of the Lord.